thank God for the Holy Spirit and fire. Thank God, amen, for an experience that will keep you, amen, and help you win through the challenges of life. We're living in a world that's messed up, aren't we? We're in a series called Power. And the reason we're in this series called Power is because of an experience of intimacy with God that makes a difference. Amen. And so the enemy's taking something that God designed and put together that's intimate, and he's twisted it. And now it's brought shame into many lives, so much so that that shame has warped your way of seeing yourself. You've lost identity because with shame, you can't see how God sees you. Shame perverts your lens on how valuable you are to God. Shame will talk to you and tell you you're not valuable, that you're not important, and you'll never be effective. And so you just try to hang out with people that look and feel better to be with, and in hopes that somewhere down the line God might just deliver you. But I'm telling you today, that spirit of shame, if God has his way and you'll let him have his way today, he's going to take it off of you. Amen. He's going to take it off the ones you love that are impacted by what, amen, is such a precious thing to God. And we're talking about breaking free from sexual strongholds. That's real, isn't it? It's touched all of our lives. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says this: for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are the weapons of the world, are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, how do we do this? How do we break these strongholds? We demolish arguments and every pretension that it sets itself against the knowledge of God. God has something to say about the stronghold that's beating you up. And what you need to realize, to break that stronghold, you got to reveal its lie. You got to reveal what it says that you think is true. You got to break that thing. And you get to do that because it's the truth that makes you free. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And the outset, if I could say something to you that'll get you moving in the right direction as we go on this journey this morning, is that God gave you something precious called a will. He designed you and gave you a will to choose him. I may not understand what God's saying, but I can choose to agree with him, and my choice to agree with him will empower me to win. Now, that may not resonate with you right now, but as we get into this thought today, you're going to begin to realize, oh, that is perverted. That is not the truth. That is a lie, and this is the truth. And the more you choose, not to make yourself better, not to stop being wrong necessarily, and this is very important you understand this, but you choose to consider the Lord's ways, which are higher than your ways. You choose to have a relationship with the truth. You have fellowship, you muse over, you meditate, you think on the truth. I don't understand God, but I'm going to meditate on him. I can't tell you how he ticks, but I'm going to think about what he's saying. And the more you choose to think about, to consider the ways of the Lord, the more you get set free. And it's not because we're smart that we get set free. It's because God loves us that we get set free. Amen? But the enemy wants you to doubt the fact that God's truth will work. And so instead of you spending time thinking about the things which are true, just, honest, pure, and a good report, being in virtue, being in praise, think on these things. Instead of doing that, because we see ourselves skewed from a lens that has skewed through shame, we just say, oh, well, what's the use? And then we go back and we feed on the thing that's destroying us. We have a relationship with the thing that's beating us up. Because, amen, for a moment it looks like it's okay, I can do it, it feels good, this is where I'm at, I'm going to just, and then afterwards you were like, oh my God, I messed up again, dropped the ball again, I'm beat up again. And shame keeps skewing your image and understanding of who God says you are. Is anybody tracking with me? That's a word from heaven for you. Your will is just that powerful. Choose God. Stop trying to make yourself good. Stop trying to be a good enough person that God will accept you. That's a lie. The enemy's manipulating your power from you. Choose God, and he'll meet you where you choose him. And he will blow your mind on what he can do with you choosing him. Because at the end of this thing, come on now, we're all going to say in unison, not look what we did, but rather look what the Lord has done. He started something, not you. He started something when he gave himself on a cross. Amen. He opened the door, amen, for you to come and enjoy the best that he can offer. And not only did he start it, he's well able to finish it. And so today, as the word of the Lord is coming, not Dwayne's word, but heaven's word to you, you can make this conscious choice. You know, Lord, I'm going to agree with you on this. Will you meet me where I agree with you? I'm going to agree that you say that I am powerful. I'm going to agree that you say that I'm special. I'm going to agree that you chose me. I'm going to agree that you got a plan and a purpose that's bigger than me, and I've been invited to join you on this wonderful journey. I'm going to agree with you, Lord. And you know what that does? That says to him, oh, they love me. They're into me, and it moves heaven. And he will come on the scene and do in you what you can't do in your own ability. Amen? So what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a prisoner locked by deception. A prisoner that's locked by a lie. You're really not trapped, but you think you are. You believe you are. You're living something that's not true. And so a stronghold is really just anything that will not let you go. It's something that will show up in your prayer time all the time, remind you your prayer's not working, you're messed up. It shows up on your resolution every year, a stronghold that you really want to be set free from. Today, amen, we're addressing this, and you may find it difficult to say amen in some of the stuff I'm going to say today. You may be thinking, is it legal to say amen? I don't know. But I want to encourage you today, you can say amen. The media is talking about it. Sexual abuse is increasing. The world is talking about it. It's impacting our relationships everywhere. All of the circles of our influence is touched by it. All things sex is destroying the lives, amen, of people that we're connected with in our world. All because they're not including, amen, God's parameter in the objective. This problem is getting, amen, worse instead of better. But I have come to a conclusion, and through the Spirit of God, all of us can agree that you can actually dominate this thing and put it under your feet. You can do that through Christ by making the choice. And so ask yourself right now, am I ready to address this real issue in the world? And I would encourage you to start leaning that direction as quickly as possible, because it's not going to get any better in our world unless the church stands up. And we become the voice instead of the voice of the wicked one. Our world is bound by sexual perversion, and they want to talk about it because it's beating our world up. Counselors don't have an answer for it. It's like alcoholism. You're always an alcoholic, for as the world says. Thank God for programs that try to help people with it, but the only source of help is Christ. And there's an experience that comes with that that sets you free. You're not always an alcoholic. But the church is having a difficult time talking about it. Why is this? Well, without raising your hands, how many of us today think that the sin of sexual perversion is worse than the weakness that you're presently enduring? It's not. God says it's not. You see, everyone is reaching for more of God while being set free from the works of the enemy that he's working in some of the areas of our lives. And so much of Christianity is surprised to know today that God actually created sex, that he had something to do with it. I actually grew up in a church, and I heard them, the older people in my life, you know, they would tell the younger people, you know, sex is dirty, it's ugly, it's bad, and you should save it for the one you love. And I'm thinking, okay, I believe they meant what they said, but that sounds weird. Thus the reason today that the majority of Christianity, amen, does not know how to respond to sex because of the lies and the perversions that are associated with it. And so you should know, if you don't already know, that God is pro-sex. And it's silent at New Life Fellowship. But I'm going to take just enough time to let you know, out of the scripture, he's very pro-sex. Nobody has experienced sex at the level that they can experience it until they experience it God's way. Let me say that one more time. There's some here today that would love to experience sex, amen, the right way, because it's ugly to you because you've been hurt by it. And God wants you to know that when you experience something that he divinely ordered his way, it's awesome. Now, Pastor Lowe, why did you have to go there? Because many of you are hurting. And I'm just going to tell you the thing about me and my wife, we love one another and we're close and we give one another goo-goo eyes because we have expectations about our union. Amen. And we love each other the right way. We look forward to being together every day. No, we don't have the most awesome days all of our marriage. We've had more challenges than we want to talk about. And yes, we've had issues that you'll hear about them from time to time. But we've had to grow. But we've come to realize that this thing called sex is an important part of every marriage covenant. If you don't get it in the right perspective, you're not going to be happily married. And if you're not happily married, how can you say you're happily a Christian? And in a marriage covenant, when the covenant of Jesus Christ is more intimate than your own marriage covenant. And your marriage covenant is an opportunity, amen, to put Christ on the throne and put him in the right perspective and know who you are. And our young people need to hear mom and dad talking about it. If you just read the Bible on what God says about sex, you have to give a PG-13 minimum warning. Come on, read Proverbs chapter 5. I mean, it is so suggestive in Proverbs chapter 5 that you'll blush. And I'm going to read a few verses just to get you blushing. May her breast satisfy you always. And I mean, it's talking about intimacy there. May you be captivated. That means intoxicated by her love. And I mean, you can chicka chicka wow wow right now. I know we're laughing inside, but at the same time, you're uncomfortable with it because you need to address it. And God meant for it to be, amen, a divine thing, a spiritual thing, not a fleshly, just a fleshly thing. God has something to say about it. It's powerful. Whatever fallenness that is you're faced with today, hear me, it's no worse than the next person's fallenness that you're sitting with. But the enemy told you it is. The enemy told you that there are worse fallenness, amen, and you happen to be associated with what's worse about fallenness. That's why you cannot see yourself from heaven's lens, and I must address it. Some of you want to be filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit, really, you want, with all your heart, you do. But for me to get you to the place where you can give all your heart, you got to stop seeing yourself from the lens of the enemy. Some of you can begin to start receiving the baptism of God's Spirit right where you sit if you ever get set free from how the enemy has skewed your image. And shame is huge. Thus, the reason we're talking about a series on power and talking about sexual strongholds that have come into the church and touched everybody's life. Amen. Romans 1:21 says this, and everybody please understand, this is how it's happening. 2,000 years ago, Paul's writing a letter, and just imagine when I read this to you, how much worse it's gotten since then. Now, this is not a negative message. We're talking about a positive one, but the enemy's still doing his devil work, okay? And in Romans 1:21, they knew God. They were religious. They knew God, but they wouldn't worship. Thank God for our worship team, but it's not about talking about singing there. It's talking simply about they would not posture themselves towards God. They would not let God know, you know what, God, you're right and I'm wrong. I bow to you. They wouldn't do that. Or even give him thanks. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Come on, your mind is powerful. You can think up some idols in your mind. You don't have to make it with your hands. You can think it up in your mind, and you can worship from your mind and bypass your inner spirit, your heart, and go to your mind because your flesh and your soul want to team up and become allies. But all that's going to bring is pain until God becomes the source of your spirit and your spirit takes over. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. This generation, Paul said, knew God. They did not want to go to hell, but they didn't want to, they had no intention on following God. They chose a lie instead of God. Would you say that our world is a lot like that right now? I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church world. So what are some of the sex lies this generation holds? Yes, I'm going to address sex lies today that our generation holds and has got into the church and into our relationships, our marriage covenants. Number one, sex is animalistic action. Sex is an animalistic action. The world says you should respond to your feelings, that whatever you feel, just go ahead and do it. Your feelings is what defines you. You are not your feelings. Ladies and gentlemen, you are who God says you are. And that has got to resonate in your spirit today because shame is holding you captive. If I follow my feelings, I would not be pastor at this time. I am subject to the same feelings that anybody here is subject to. You know what I have to do with them? I have to bring them under, amen, my spirit and pay attention to what God's spirit is saying to me. Casting down vain imaginations, you're not the only one who has to cast them down. Attitudes, you're not by yourself. It's real. But guess what? We've been given a source. We've been given power to have dominion and authority so that we can be who God says we are. And in the process, we get to take care of what he wants us to take care of. And that's the people that have been beat up with this shame. They've been beat up with these strongholds, and they're looking for ways out. And the reason that you have been challenged like you've been challenged because God trusted you with it. Well, Pastor, I never thought about that. You know, God trusted me with this. Yeah, he believes in you. Right in the middle of you doing stupid, he believes in you. Yeah, this is a beautiful thing for everybody here, a word from heaven. Adam was perfect in the garden, was he not? Well, then what if he was so perfect, why did he fall? He was perfect in the garden. But there were some things about Adam that he didn't know about God, and God wanted to know Adam. Did God set him up to fall? Some would think that God did, but God not setting us up to fall, God sets us up to win. He sets us up to know him. Can anybody say amen to that? That God actually sets you up to know him? And so because Adam made a choice, God gives you a will. The most powerful thing you have is your will to choose God. There was one day that Adam didn't choose God. That wasn't on God, that was on Adam. But Adam made a bad decision. Did God trust Adam? Yep. Adam fell. And now Adam gets to know something he didn't know about God. The same thing you get to know, his mercy and his grace. Did you know you can't experience God's mercy or grace unless you are dealing with fallenness? Unless you've messed up and you've been involved in something dark, you can't even understand the light and the value of the light. Come on now, Pastor. Oh, the enemy's going, oh my goodness, they might believe that today. And if you have fellowship with what I'm saying to you right now, then you understand God has a plan right in the middle of your darkest day. Amen. He has a plan to bring you to a place where you can actually trust him to be who he says he is and who he says you are. And some of you are catching on right now. Oh my goodness, I've been wasting time letting shame hold me captive when I have been called by God and I have influence with people in my life to be a leader in the world that's hurting. That I've got something in my past that I can make a stepping stone out of instead of a stumbling block, and I can step up on it and I can pull people out of hell. I can pull people out of their pain. I can pull people out of their strongholds. I can give them the answer that's my answer. The sex talk has been defined as the birds and the bees. The motive behind that is to make it animalistic. Even we have heard it termed. And we say, oh, yeah, they'll figure it out. They'll figure the birds and the bees out, and they'll work it out on their own. And we've bought into the lie. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Let me help you. I'm from South Mississippi originally. I'm a Texan now. Been here 27 years. But I was a good hunter. I enjoyed it. My grandpa taught me right. That's one thing about it. Times get hard. I ain't going to be starving. I'll pray for Bambi. But I've set the deer stands. I've built the deer plots. I've built the deer stands. I've done the hunting. I've witnessed the act of the animal kingdom. We're not the animal kingdom. We're humans. But in the animal kingdom, amen, they're smart. I've watched them, the little fawns and all, jump out in the deer plot first and play, and here comes the does, and they know they ain't in trouble. I don't know how they know it, but they just know it. But the prize is out there in the shadows and in the skirts of the trees, and they got their head up and they're easing along, and you have to really pay attention to see them, and they ain't coming out. They ain't coming out until that scent happens. And every year the does put off a scent that caused them prize trophies to go crazy, and they forget to keep their head up, and they put their head down and they go looking for that their prize. And in the middle of them looking for their prize, they become a prize on the wall. That's the animal kingdom. And the enemy has one plan. He wants to mount you on his wall. He wants to take you out. And the only way he can do it is feed you a lie. Come on, I've done turkey hunting in South Mississippi. Eastern turkey, that's the hardest hunting there is. I mean, you have to camo out. You have to get your white of your eyes. You have to be totally still. And you ain't going to get a shot at one of them gobblers that's got that 12-inch beard. Man, you ain't getting a shot at them. They can see you from 100 yards away. You have to be in place. You have to know which way they're coming. You got to set this thing up to where, amen, you're given that call from the hen just right. And then when that gobbler hears that call just right, all of a sudden his king senses go wacko, and man, he's gobbling and he's fanning out and he's doing a dance, and he has no sense of what's going on, and he winds up on the wall. That's the animal kingdom. We're not animals. Moral of this story is, if you don't get your feelings in check and you don't get your emotions in check, you're going to be bounded by Satan and put on his wall. He's after you. And he's using something that God ordained as a weapon against you. Sex lie number two is that sex is a recreational activity. Now, come on, Pastor, please. You're getting a little bit too serious here. It was summertime. It was spring break. I didn't even know his or her name. The moment that sexual intimacy takes place, God wants there to be a union that's beyond the physical. Did y'all know that? That when sexual, amen, intimacy takes place, God intended for there to be a oneness that takes place. A soul tie. He designed it that way. Not beating up on anybody, but some of us have more soul ties than we want to talk about today. And your soul ties go with you everywhere you go. And you have to cast down the influence and the impact of that soul tie because it's that powerful. The person you become one with, amen, the enemy knows who they are. And he's manipulating time, amen, and days to try to get that soul tie to bring you two back together for memories. So he can keep you full of shame and beat you up. That's how the enemy plays. He's not fair. But the good news is God wants to heal you from that. He wants to set you free. There is an answer. You can be set free and liberated, amen, and start using the challenges you're faced with to be God's man and woman in the kingdom. Statistics reveal that anyone that engages in sexual activity with anyone they want at any time they want, the quality of their life diminishes in every category. They become a wreck. They have to deal with all kinds of anxiety, shame, even insanity comes with it. The third sex lie. It's okay that it's real quiet here. People are paying attention today. Sex is an isolated event. Now, sex isn't something that you can just click on and click off at will. That's not what sex is. God designed sex so that a part of you stays with it and a part of it stays with you. You tracking? The world has a marketing plan that will tell you that this lie, amen, is true, that it's isolated. Anybody ever heard the term, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Let me tell you what. Whatever happens in Vegas will come home with you, and it will go with you to the council room. Whatever happens in Vegas will rot your soul, and those embrace the life of Vegas. The good news is God wants to heal that too. So it's not an isolated thing. It's not something you can click on and click off when you want to. The fourth lie is sex is just physical. Now, by now, everybody here should be thinking, you know, maybe sex is spiritual. Maybe I need to reconsider how I think about it and start thinking from heaven's lens on it and see what God does in my life about it. You see, the majority of life is more spiritual than we realize. Say this with me. I am a spirit man. I have a soul, and I live in a body. It's important that you understand this. You're not an earthly being that's just having spiritual moments. You're a spiritual being that's experiencing earthly moments. You should let that resonate in your spirit. This is why approaching the topic of sex, amen, spiritually is the only answer. So why did God choose sex? God wanted us to experience intimacy because he's an intimate God. Intimacy is the highest form of fulfillment and pleasure to a spirit, soul, and body. Does anybody agree with that? Intimacy is something everybody is wired to look for. Everybody desires to be complete in God. Amen? To be complete in the grander scope and purpose of God's kingdom. And so this is why real love is defined by a commitment to a person, not a feeling. One man, one woman, intimately. God's plan was seed would come forth. Children would be born. God would get what was his heritage from that intimacy. God had a plan. Why? Because that tells a story about God and his kingdom and him being fruitful. Sex, from God's lens, has everything to do with how God comes to you and I, and we become intimate with him. Amen. And from our intimacy with him, we're able to become who he says we are. This is why any sexual activity that you leave the person out of it, like pornography, you have just removed yourself from the very thing that sex was created to do. And pornography is on a huge upswing. The end result is that you'll destroy all other intimacies that God intended for your life. Your relationship with your spouse will be hit. Your relationships, amen, with your influence with people will be impacted because of the shame that comes in like a flood. It's real. 1 Corinthians 6:15 tells us this. Now, keep in mind, you need to ask yourself the question, how many truly believe God's way is the right way? And if we don't believe that yet, I'm encouraging you today. The good news is spend some time thinking from God's lens. Spend some time considering the ways of the Lord, and you'll see a shift in your spirit. You'll see a change in your life. When you lay down at night and you turn your attention to your inner man, your spirit, and you allow your spirit to search out the will of God, the grander things of heaven, you'll start getting up the next morning with a knowing you can't figure out how you got. You start getting up, amen, with an inspiration in your spirit that will move into intercession. And when you move into intercession, you're back into the holy place with God, having intimacy with Him. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when you're having intimacy with God, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come on, this is what He's wanting birthed out of you. He wants birthed out of you what He's saying. When you say it, now He can create more. He wants to finish His creation, but He needs representatives. And He chose humanity to be the conduit, amen, the vessel, the instrument by which He finishes His creation. I don't know if that's resonating with you, but every time you agree with God, angels are on assignment. Every time you say what God's saying, there's something that comes from that. And that's what God intended intimacy to be about. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians 6:15, do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ Himself? There's some of us that would never do some of the things we're doing in this body, we would never do in this building. There's some things that we've done in the past in this body that you wouldn't catch us doing in this building. And let me just let us, this building is just a building. That body you're wearing, you're a spirit man with a soul living in a body. That body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're doing things in this body we would never do in what we call a church house. And the Lord's saying, why don't you get the right perspective of what's going on here? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite? Notice this, that word unite, glue yourself to, fuse together at the core. Should I take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one. Come on, there's a soul tie right there. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So, Pastor, what do we do, man? I mean, man, we got these challenges right now that we're faced with. What do we do? 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. Did you know that nobody is smart enough to manage sexual immorality? Nobody. Paul saying all other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Now, so that you're encouraged, God's not mad at you. He's not frowning at you. But we are finding out we're hurting ourselves when we're given to this. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, I just want to say this one more time so everybody gets it. You are safe here today. Relax. Get over the fact that, hey, man, you've got some past amen, that's beating you up. Get over it. Let's take advantage of it, and let's make a stepping stone out of it today. You're in a safe place. At New Life Fellowship, we get it. Strongholds are everywhere, and every one of us have been touched by it. You don't have to let the idea that shame is going to knock you out if you get transparent. You're in a safe house, and God wants you to know He's not mad at you. He's not shocked with you, and we're not shocked. It's the world we're living in. What are we going to do about it? What we're going to do about it, we're going to take our will and choose God and say, Lord, I got a messed up baggage here. I got some stuff in my life, amen. I don't know what to do. I've been trying to do something with it, but it keeps overtaking me. He just wants us to get honest with Him and just make the choice. Lord, if you don't help me, I ain't going to get to help. He said, I'm glad you figured that out. Sin will make you feel ashamed. Jesus never does that. Jesus isn't condemning nobody in this room. He's not making anybody feel ashamed. And He's thankful that you come today because His Spirit drew you here. And He's impressed in you that you're here giving Him an opportunity to do what only He can do. Oh, He's wowed by the fact that you're sitting here listening to this right now and considering potentially, you know what? I'm going to let God use me, amen, to encourage somebody else that's hurting. Some of you are trapped in shame. Some of you are dealing with it right now, and you're thinking that you can't let anybody know what you're dealing with because shame is going to get worse. That is a lie from the enemy. And some of you needed to hear that more than you can imagine. A person that would shame you is worse off than you are in your own strongholds. Judgment is an ugly, demonic stronghold. And if anybody is going to be used by the enemy to let that spirit of judgment come from you and go, I can't believe you was associated with that. You know this, they're in worse shape than you are. And if I catch any of you doing that to somebody, I'm going to remind you, you were more, and we need to cast that demon out of you now. Religious demons are not welcome in the house of God. The people, amen, that God's in love with are welcome here to be delivered from that. But we're not going to put up with the enemy having a place putting shame on anybody here in this house. You're the apple of God's eye. You're wonderful to Him. God gives us power to overcome sexual strongholds. Amen. I'm going to give you four things quickly that will help you overcome sexual addiction. If you're flirting with it, if you're thinking about it, maybe you've given into its lure. Ain't nobody here to beat you up. Here's some ways that you can overcome it. Amen. And remember, Jesus is always the source. But number one, make a commitment to God's way. Settle it. You don't have to feel it. All you need to do is choose it. Make a decision. Commit to God's way. Choose Him. Again, your will is the most powerful thing you have. If you will choose God and come broken before Him, amen, saying, Lord, help me. I've been trying to help myself, but I can't help me. That's a wonderful truth. The only way you can help you is to choose God and He'll help you. And you'll always tell the person that's hurting, hey, look, get over it. You can't change you, but God can change you. Amen? Come on, let's pray right now. And then you lead them to a point where they can give their heart to Him and be filled with Him. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they will be like wool. Jesus knows exactly how to make you feel clean again. And He put it together and calls it the promise, a covenant promise to you to fill you with His Spirit and with His fire, to give you His heart, to change the way you think. Amen. So you can live a life that you're designed to live, knowing who He says you are. God wants to do that for you. He wants to restore you sexually. He wants your marriage healed. He wants your relationship with your spouse back where it's supposed to be, a representation of who he is with his church. Ah, some of you are saying, boy, it sounds like a fairy tale because you've been impacted by our world and the lies. The lies are real, aren't they? But they're lies. And they're only real when we believe them. God has an experience with him that's beyond your imagination. The second thing that will help you overcome sexual addiction is God has a plan for me and for you to manage our mind. Statistics bear out that pornography industry and the revenue that it gets from pornography is greater than Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL combined. That's a problem. Did y'all get that? Combined. The average age of a child that sees a porn image is between 10 and 11 years old. Thanks to technology, on demand at any time right now. Right here in this building, you can bring it up on your phone, on your iPad. That is thanks to our technology. Now, technology, man, we can use it for good stuff. But the enemy's doing what he can to manipulate technology to bring more shame upon the next generation. And we are not okay with that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, how many parents we got in here? How many? All right, moms and dads? Your children need to know that you know that they're sinning without condemnation being put on them. If they go to a public school, be sure you understand this right now. They're getting information every day they go to a public school that would make you as a parent blush. Every day. Not just every now and then. Every day. They're seeing things and experiencing things between amen, going to school and getting back home. And young people are going, boy, how'd the pastor know that? I don't know it for an evil reason, young people. I know it because God's in love with you. And he's not mad at you. And he ain't beating you up and he's not condemning you. But moms and dads, we're going to have to make our home a safe zone. And you want your children coming and talking to you. You want them to know that they're not going to be beat up when they come and say, I don't know what to do with this. They need mom and dads, amen, because God designed you as a mom and dad, as a parent, to take care of his heritage. That child belongs to God. You are his God's steward to take care of that child. And you are God's voice to them. The world's telling them who they are when you should be telling them who God says they are. It's over with. The enemy has played long enough. New Life Fellowship is blitzing our community. And we're going to talk about it, and you are going to get up off of the backside that you've been sitting on and be God's leader. You're leaders. You're small group leaders. Some of you are, amen, potential senior pastors and elders in the kingdom. And the shame has held you captive long enough. I'm going to take these perversions that the enemy's held you captive with and use them as a stepping stone for the next generation. Pastor Lee, I don't know. Man, that sounds like a good idea, but I don't know how to begin. You begin where Jesus bled and died for you. You go back to the cross of Jesus Christ and ask him what he has to say about where you are and where you're going. That's what you do, and you get filled with the Spirit and with fire. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important for you. It breaks every yoke. Jesus said the eye is the lamp of the eye, or lamp of the whole body, rather. And if the eye be good, the whole body is good. But if the eye be bad, the whole body is bad. So what? Why is the eye so important? Romans 8 and 5 says this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, notice this, when our sinful nature is dominating us, we think about sinful things. We can't stop thinking about it. Thinking, man, what's wrong with me? I want to knock them out. Man, I'm mad at them. I'm angry. And you can't stop getting angry. I mean, you're trying to put a smile on your face and be kind of a good person, and all the while in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I'm going to be even with them. And I'm just talking about offense. I'm not talking about the sexual stuff right now that some have to deal with all day long and trying to live a normal life. because the eye has been darkened. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, that's why the Spirit baptism is so important. Think about things that please the Lord or please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. Can't have nobody. Can't lead no small group. Can't be who God says I am. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace, and people are coming to the Lord all around you. Don't, it's not, it does, it, I don't say this to say that you won't ever think of a thought again that shouldn't be there. You cast it down when it shows up because you have authority over it. An evil thought comes to your mind, you consciously make a choice. Lord, I'm going your way right now. What do you have to say about that? Ain't got time for it. That's what I thought. What you going to replace it with, Lord? I'll tell you right now. And he'll always have something when an evil thought comes to you. If you'll trust him and choose him, he always has something that trumps it. It's like, dude, I almost went the evil way. Huh, man, I just got something from heaven. Woo! Come on, if you'll start living your life from that lens, ladies and gentlemen, where you're always listening to what the Spirit says, when an evil thought comes, learn this. This is developing maturity, spiritual. When an evil thought comes to you, know the enemy's seeing a good thought coming from heaven. He sees an angel that has been given charge over you, bringing another message. That the Spirit of God's going to say something to you that he wants to block and hide. You know how the enemy blocks it? He's got to throw an evil thought in there quick. And so he'll throw something wacko in there and try to get you to dwell on it. And God's saying, make a choice. Choose me. And live. All right, Lord, I got this stuff trying to happen right. What do you think about this? He said, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you this. The Lord will meet you where you make your will choose him. And he will blow your mind. Third thing that'll help you overcome sexual addiction, maintain healthy relationships. Young people, if you're in a relationship with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and in that relationship, your boyfriend or your girlfriend's pressuring you with this thing, you know, I love you. I really love you. And it's luring you in to do something you know is going to make you feel shame and guilt. Run! 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And as much as the opposite sex is attractive to you, the Lord wants to be that much more attractive to you if you'll give him a chance. And so everybody needs protective allies in our life, don't we? It's not about running from bad relationships, ladies and gentlemen. It's more about running to good relationships and making yourself accountable. God wants to be Lord in our lives. And so this is why small groups are imperative. Small groups develop spiritual allies. It gives us accountability. Amen. We're connected to family. Small groups are key for overcoming strongholds. James says it this way in chapter 5, 16. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. That's what small groups do. And God is talking to couples right now about the fact that you should be leading a small group so that you can be, amen, helping people get out of their strongholds. And you have influence around you already that, man, you could fill your living room up. That's how much influence every one of you have. But the enemy has shamed you so much, you don't feel worthy. And that's a lie, and that's going to be broke today. And I'm concluding with this last thing, the fourth thing that helps you overcome sexual addiction is God's plan. Magnify God's plan for my life. You know, we're not being delivered from something. We are being delivered to something. I'm not just saying no to bondage. I'm saying yes to a better life, and it begins with a personal experience. You know what keeps me the cleanest as a Dwayne Lowe, pastor of New Life Fellowship? First, God does. Then my wife. Then you. When you have purpose, This is important for everybody, because the shame that's working against you has covered over the purpose. It's covered over your identity. But when you have purpose, people that are counting on you, that's what I'm talking about, people that are depending on you, because you depend on me every week to make sure that I'm ready to encourage, to confirm, to validate, to encourage you to hear the voice of God, to encourage you to be, amen, more appreciative to God and to say yes to God. You're dependent on me to do that. You know what that does for me? It causes me to tune in a little bit more for station identification, to talk to the Lord about, you know, Lord, we need what you want us to have every week. And Sundays are wide open arms to whosoever will. But not only am I preparing for Sunday, I'm preparing through the week, amen, to encourage our teams and leaders, amen, to believe in who they are so that the teams can become stronger and healthier and more impactful, amen, in God's design. Purpose will keep you clean. Accountability will help you stay clean. It'll help you go towards God and say, Lord, all these precious people that you love are attracted here and they're coming here. And Lord, I need some help. He said, I'm glad you asked. You just keep choosing me, son, and I'll give you what you need to give them. He's saying it to every couple in here right now. You're that powerful. And that you have been called to magnify God's plan in your life. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says this, with promise like this, promises like this to pull on us, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles and distracts us, both within and without. Let us make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God.